We started yesterday the sugya of Ri'iyah Bishvo Feres. So, let's see the Gemara again. Let's pick it up again from Boimine. We're on Chaf Alf and Beis, about halfway through the very wide lines. Boimine Rabbi Yomir Rabbi Zera, Haroa Dam Bishvo Feres Mahu. What's the halach if you see Dam through Bishvo Feres? Meaning, the woman has blood come out of her body, but it comes out through a tube, so it never actually touches the vaginal walls on the way out. Does it make her tummy as a nidu or not? Vivisara Amrachman of Lobishfaferis. Do we say that the pasuk, after all, says that when she sees dam, the dam has to be Bivisara, and therefore if she sees it through a tube, that does not qualify as Ri'iyas Dam Nida. Al Dilma, hai Bivisara, mi baile, shemitam mi bachut, ki bachut. Or maybe Bivisara just teaches me that a Nida is Tameh when the blood comes out, even Bifnim, even inside of her body, it goes from the uterus toward the vaginal area. That's enough to make her Tameh. She doesn't need the blood to actually emerge from her body. Maybe that's what Bivisara is coming to teach me, that once it leaves the makar to the prosdar, what we call the prosdar, and the kosle beis harechem, hold it there inside her body, she is already tameh, as opposed to a zav, a balkeri, where the halacha is that a zav and a balkeri only become tameh once the liquid actually leaves the body, once it actually goes to outside of the body entirely. So maybe that's what bivisara is needed to teach me, that she's even metami mi bifnim, and therefore, even with the shvaferes, she would still become tameh. So amalei bivisara amarachmana velo bishvaferes. He says, no, you have to say like the first tzad, that it's velo bishvaferes, that if she sees dam through a tube, she would not become tameh, she does not become a nida. Di'ib bisara mi bayulei shematamim mifnim kevachutz, imkein neimakra bisara, my bivisara shramina tarti. If you were to use the word bivisara to teach me that she's metame even when the blood still remains inside her body, when the kolsle beis harechem are still holding her blood inside of her body, we only would have needed the term bisara, not bivisara. So the fact that it says bivisara teaches us that we can make two drashas. So that's the part of the Gemara that we saw yesterday. Now, even though someone who sees bishvaferes is tahora, and that's derived from this pasuk, the Gemara is very clear that it's derived from pasuk. So one can simply say gzeres hakasuv. We don't know any reasons, just gzeres hakasuv. There is a machlokas harishonim. What is the reason that the Torah is metaher a re'iyah bishvaferes, and what is the geder of this din that we learn from a pasuk? So there are basically three shitos in Rishonim. Rashi over here understands that it's a din chatzitza, that the shvaferes is a chatzitza between the dam and the basar, between the blood and the actual flesh of her body, between the vaginal wall. So since she has a shvaferes there, a tube that's being chotzeit, that would stop her from becoming a nida. The second shita in Rishonim is the shita of Rabbeinu Shimshon, quoted in the Rush in Simon Beis, explaining the Shita of the Chachamim, that it's Ein Derech Ri'iyah Bekach, that it's not the normal way to see Dam, to see it through Shvaferes. Memela, it's not going to become a Nida, because you only become a Nida when it's Derech Ri'iyah Bekach. The third Shita is the way the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Kuntras Achron, in Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, in Yeredeya, Oz Beis, explains the sheet of the Chidushei Aran and Afnun Zayinam and Beis. And that is as follows, that since this Re'iyah is considered a Re'iyah Shalo Bahargasha, because she's not going to be able to be Margish Bivisara, the dam coming through the basar, she's not going to be able to be margish the flow of the blood. If you assume that hargasha means zivas davarlach, that she feels something moist flowing in her body, well, she's not going to be able to have that hargasha in her basar. So mela, it's going to be tahora at least on a daraisa level that should make her tahora. In the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he explains the Ran in a slightly different way than the Shulchan Aruch Harav does, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch Harav explains it. So it could be that come out nafkamina's ladina between the different understandings of what the nature of this halacha of shvaferes is. For instance, does she have to stick the shvaferes all the way into the makar, or only up until the Pesach HaMakor? Does it have to go into the uterus, or only up until the opening of the uterus? Because it could be that Riyah Shelo Kedarka is only if she sticks the Shofaris into the Makor, and that causes the Yitzias Dam. But Chatzitza is even if it's just a Chatzitza in the Bayis HaChitzon, even if it's not all the way up into the uterus. Also, if a woman sees B'Shofaris, her normal Riyas Dam Nida at the time of her Vessa, when she's expecting to become a Nida, would that be Tahor or not? If the Heter is Mitzad, that it's not the Derech Riyah, well, it's hard to call that not the Derech Riyah. It's a regular period. She just saw Dam at a regular time, regular period, just happened to come through a tube. So if you want to say that it's a Din in not being a Derech Riyah, this is her Derech Riyah, would still be Tameh. But if you want to say it's a Din in Chatzitza, or a Din in Hargasha, so good. So there's no Chatzitza, there's no Hargasha. Well, that would also depend on whether Hargasha is a definition of Dam Nida, or Hargasha is a simen of Dam Nida, meaning when a woman sees Shaloba Hargasha, is the reason she's not a Nida Daraisa because we assume that's not her regular Dam Nida, or is it that, no, there's simply a halacha that without a Hargasha she cannot be a Nida. So if she doesn't have a Hargasha because you stuck something in there to block the Hargasha, so then if you say that Hargasha is part of the definition of Dam Nida, well, she's still not going to be a Nida. But if it's just a simen that, no, you know, when she has a Hargasha, that is probably it's Dam Nida, that's probably it's Dam Nida, and when she doesn't have a Hargasha, it's probably not Dam Nida. Well, here you know it's Dam Nida. You just covered up the Hargasha artificially by sticking a tube in that area. So says the Gemara right away, wait a second, how can you say that sticking a tube in would block the woman from becoming a Nida, even though blood is coming out of her body, since it's coming through a tube, she's not going to be a Nida. After all, Vamar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yechayah Bepelz Chaticha Korah Im Yesh Padam Agur Tamei Avim Lav Torah. Didn't we just learn yesterday that if a chaticha comes out of her body, all you need to do is rip it open, and if on the inside of that chaticha you see blood gathered in one location, she's going to be Tameya, otherwise she's going to be Torah. But wait a second, when it came out of her body, it was inside of a chaticha, so isn't that, why is that any different than being inside of a tube? Whether the blood comes through a tube or it comes out in the middle of a chaticha, there's either way, let's stick with Rashi, there's a chatzitza between the kol sei beis harechem and the blood, so shouldn't she be tahora regardless, even if there is blood gathered there? Answers the Gemara, hachi ashta, hasam darka shalisha liros dam v'chaticha, hacha in darka shalisha liros dam b'shvaferes. Since it's normal for a woman to see dam in a chaticha, so therefore it's considered bivisara, because that the Rashi invokes the notion of min b'mino eino chotzeitz, that it's considered two like things, it's considered part of her basar, the chaticha is considered like part of her basar since it's normal, and therefore it's considered min b'mino eino chotzeitz, so the basar is not going to be chotzeitz between the vaginal wall and the blood itself. But a shvaferes is literally a foreign substance. So a foreign substance will be able to make a chatzitza. So I mentioned yesterday that this sugya is very much halacha lemaisa. It doesn't sound like it should be halacha lemaisa, but it's very much halacha lemaisa. Shulchan Aruch Rav, like we mentioned, holds that only that the Gemara only makes a woman tahora when the tube itself causes the seeing of the blood. Since the blood's not coming out on its own, it's being induced by a tube being stuck into the uterus, only then would she be tahora. According to that, that would only apply if the tube reaches, like we said, all the way to the uterus, where it actually causes the bleeding. But blood that comes out on its own, just happens to go through a tube, would be tameh. It would also, according to the Shulchan Rav, only be when the blood was definitely caused by the insertion of the tube. But if the blood was would have been there anyway, just you inserted the tube right before the normal time of Dam Nida, then she would be tahor. However, and this is critical, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very important tshuva, or it was meant to be a groundbreaking tshuva, and then he backed out in the end, but he has a tshuva in Mincha Shlomo, Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Beis, where he understands this Gemara entirely differently than the Shulchan Aruch Rav. He says that any blood that doesn't touch the woman's flesh, the vaginal walls, as it comes out of the uterus, and as it comes out of the body, such blood is tahar, whether that blood came from her natural period that she gets every month, or whether it comes from some other source. It doesn't make a difference. Even if it's her natural period, but there's a tube that's chotzeitz between the vaginal walls and the blood, she's going to be tahora. And the tube would not have to extend all the way into the uterus. It only has to reach the threshold between the cervix and the vaginal area. Meaning, Rosh Hashanah Zalman has a second chiddush, and that is that the cervix, for these purposes, is considered part of the uterus. So the blood will only have to go up until the doorstep of the uterus, but the cervix is considered part of the uterus. Anatomically, it's considered part of the uterus, but halakhically, we generally assume that it's not. That's why a lot of times when rabbis talk to doctors, they have to be careful. I've had situations where I forget that anatomically it's different than halakhically, and I'll ask the doctor, the instrument that you stuck, sometimes we'll discuss later maybe, that an instrument stuck into that area could itself, even without the sight of blood, cause a re'ias damnida. So I'll say, how far did the instrument go? Did it go all the way into the uterus? And they'll say yes. And then through the course of conversation, it'll be clear that it did not go into the uterus, went to the cervical area. But anatomically, sometimes they'll call that the uterus. But Rav Shlomo Zalman would consider it halachically that the cervical area is also called the uterus, and therefore the tube would only need to go between the cervix and the vaginal area. So that's quite a chiddush from Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Now, even though Rosh Hashanah Zalman considers the uterus and the cervix one area, blood that comes from the uterus makes a woman Tamea. Blood that comes from the cervix does not make a woman Tamea Nida, because it's only the shedding of the endometrial lining that actually causes Dam Nida, that actually would be considered Dam Nida. Blood that comes from the cervix itself would not necessarily make a woman a Nida. Rav Shlomo Zalman would come out with it, like I mentioned, even though over here he's using it as a clue that the tube would only need to get to the cervical area, would not need to get all the way to the uterus, it would come out with a huge chumrah as well, because Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, Em Psichs Kever Blow Dam, would mean that even if you just open the cervix of Psichs Kever, that would be considered that she would automatically be a Nida. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wanted to use this to suggest the following. If a woman, let's say, has a very difficult time conceiving because she has an abbreviated cycle. So let's say in a typical case, a woman is Tamea for 12, 13, 14 days out of a month. So if she has a 30-day cycle, perfect. By the time she goes to the mikvah, it's her most fertile time. Normally, that's when she's, it will be perfect in terms of making the ovulation and she'll be able to become pregnant. But what happens very often is a woman may have an abbreviated cycle. Maybe her cycle will be 24 days, and maybe she'll be missing ovulation by the time she comes out of the mikveh. After 14 days, she'll be missing her chance to become pregnant. So today we solve that problem by adjusting medication, by giving medication that allows for an elongated cycle, and we make her have a longer cycle. And that way, this is the problem that they call in the medical community orthodox infertility. That they're perfectly capable of having children. There's no infertility issue from a medical standpoint, but it's orthodox infertility. The observance of Taras HaMishpacha, of the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha, is what stops them from being able to have a baby. So before we were able to use medicine to solve this problem, Shlomo Zalman suggested an innovative solution. He said, take a tube and put it in her body around the time that she expects to get her period, and allow all the blood to travel through that tube. The tube prevents the blood from touching her vaginal walls, so she never becomes a Nida. However, practically, this never really became accepted. Rav Shlomo Zalman originally published this in a journal, an Eretz Yisrael called Noam, and in the following issue of the journal, in volume 7, he published this tshuva. In volume 8, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that he was waiting for all the other Gedolei Yisrael to line up in agreement with him, and that never really happened. So he said, based on that, this is Bitur Hatsa'a V'lo Chas V'Chalila L'maisa. This is a suggestion, not Chas V'Chalila, to be relied on L'maisa. Rabbi Sablowski points out in a footnote in his Sefer that from a medical perspective, there are significant practical issues in constructing such a tube that would actually be effective halachically and practically. There would have to be a watertight seal of the tube against the external cervical area, because you don't want any blood to be able to get into the basar. So that would require the engineering of an adhesive which would connect to the tube really well and remain dry in the most moist environment of the cervix, which is almost impossible, meaning the whole area is moist, it would somehow have to remain dry. Otherwise, it's not feasible that there would be no blood that would leak around the tube and into the and touch the vaginal walls. But anyway, that was the big halachic issue in the Rosh Shlomo Zalman that suggested this idea of dam b'shvoferes may solve the problem of a woman who's unable to become pregnant due to orthodox infertility. Baruch Hashem, now we have better ways to solve that problem. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayter now, Leimush Foferes, about 10 lines before the end of the page, Leimush Foferes Tanoihi. Maybe this issue of Shoferes is actually subject to Machlokas Tanoim. Titania Mapelis Chaticha, Afal Pisha Malay Adam, Im Yeshim Adam Tamea, Vim Lav Tahora. We said in our Mishnah that if a woman has a chaticha, a chunk of basa that comes out of her body, so if there's dam with it, she's tamea, otherwise she's tora. Rabbi Elazar Omer, b'vesara v'lo b'shvir v'lo b'chaticha. No, the dam has to come out b'vesara, not in a shvir, not in a chaticha. So Rabbi Elazar, haina tanakama, what's Rabbi Elazar saying different than tanakama? Tanakama also said, only if it's together with dam is she tamea, right? It's not if it's just the chaticha, there has to be additional dam for it to be tamea. So ema, she Rabbi Elazar Omer, yes, we got to change that. Not that Rabbi Elazar disagrees, but it's Sher Rabbi Elazar Omer, that Tanakama is in line with the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. The Chum say, Ein ze dam nida, ela dam chaticha. The Chum say, no, this blood is not dam nida, it's just blood of the chaticha. So frankly, Gemara, Tanakama namitur mitar. Tanakama also said it's tar. If you have a chaticha that looks like one of the colors of blood, but isn't accompanied by blood, Tanakama said it's tar. What's the Chum adding when he said it's not dam, when they say that it's not dam, it's dam nida, it's just dam chaticha? Ella de pali pluye ikabirayu. So the machloka seems to be if there are cracks in the chaticha. Tanakama savru bivsar v'lo b'shir v'lo b'chaticha v'lo din shoferes. Tanakama would say bivsara means that the blood can't be in the shvir, can't be in the chaticha. And hu adin that it cannot be in the shoferes, that dam in the shoferes would not be metame. Vani mili hechatashia. That's if it's smooth. Av pali pluye tamea. But if it's if there are cracks, then it would be tamea. My time, eh? Bivsara karina be, because then it would be bivsara if there are cracks in the chaticha, and that's where the blood is. Vasra rabbanon lemeimar, avagav de polipluye ein zadam nida el dam chaticha. And the rabbanon come along and say, no, even if there are cracks in it, it would still not be dam nida, it would only be dam chaticha. Hadam nida vade tame vafil b'shoferes nami. But the implication of the Tanakama is that if it were dam nida vade, if you know that it's dam nida, that it's not just dam of a chaticha, but it's real dam nida, then it would be metameir, but it's got nothing to do with whether it touches the vaginal walls. Even if it were coming out in the shoferes, it would be metame. So it turns out that the Tanakama holds that dam b'shoferes is tahar. The only thing is, if you have it in a chaticha, where it's where the chaticha has cracks in it, and it's therefore touching the vaginal walls, then it will be tamea. Whereas the chachamim would hold, the chum would disagree with Tanakama, the rabbanon would say, that no, there is no din of bivisara that if it doesn't touch the vaginal walls, she's tahara. She's still going to be tamea even if it doesn't touch the vaginal walls. It's just that dam in a chaticha is not dam nida. But any dam nida, any real dam nida, even if it doesn't touch the vaginal walls, will make her tamea. So Rabbi Bishvoferes Kuliyam lo pligi de Torah. So says Rabbi, no, you don't have to say that this is machlokas tanaim. Really, by Bishvoferes, everyone might agree that if it doesn't touch the vaginal walls, she is tahora. Ki pligi bechaticha. The whole machlokas is when it comes out in a chaticha. Marasav darker shalisha liros dam bechaticha. Marasav rein darker shalisha liros dam bechaticha. And the machlokas is it normal for a woman to see dam bechaticha? So if you hold that it's darker shalisha liros dam bechaticha, so like Rashi explained before, that is not going to be a chatzitza. It's going to be considered min b'mino, and therefore she's going to be tahora. But if you hold in darker shalisha liros dam bechaticha, the chaticha will be just like a shvoferes. It will be a chatzitza between the dam and the vaginal wall, and therefore she's going to be tahora. So that is the that is the true explanation of this machlokas tanaim. They are not arguing about dam b'shoferes. That's how Abaye understands. Rava Amar, Rava would say, I agree that they're not arguing about Shvoferes, but I don't think they're arguing about whether it's Darko Shalisha Liros Dam Bechaticha either. I think really everyone agrees it's not normal to see Dam in a Chaticha. How often does this happen? How can you call it normal that a woman sees Dam through in a Chaticha? V'hacha bi'isha tahora u'makar makamo tamei kamiflugi. Over here we're dealing with a woman who is tahora, and the issue is, do we assume mekar mekomo tame, that the blood is tame as a result of touching the uterus, as a result of going into that area, even though it is not considered regular re'iyas dam nido according to anybody. The Reb Elazar savri isha tahora v'dam tame da'asi derech makar. Reb Elazar holds, yes, the woman is tahor. She's not a nida because she didn't have re'iyas dam nida. She didn't have didn't go b'vsara. The whole issue is the dam tame. So you'd say yes, the dam is tame because it touched the makar, it touched the uterus. For Rabbanan savri isha tahora makar makomo tahor. And the Rabbanan would say that in the woman is tahora and makar makomo tahor, because the dam is tahor also because the makar itself is not going to be metame with negia by touching the blood. Period. Now that we discussed seeing a woman seeing dam through a tube, now we discuss what if a man sees keri. A man becomes a bal keri, but does he or does he not become a bal keri when the shikva zera comes out through some sort of tube? Do we assume that the word mimenu means that it has to come out from his flesh, meaning without a chatzitza, or do we say no, that mimenu just means that the blood has to go out bachutz, that the blood has to leave the body entirely, and it's not mitame mibifnim like by anida. By anida, as soon as it goes out of the uterus and it goes into, let's say, machlokas, whether into the cervix, or let's say to be safe, the vaginal canal, already she is tame. So by maybe we need this drush of mimenu to teach me that by a man he's only going to be tame when it leaves his body entirely. Now this is a little bit difficult. The Rishonim point out the implication of this Gemara is that without a pasuk, the natural assumption would have been that he's tame even when the shikhazer is inside of his body. As soon as it's on its way out, he would already be tameh. And that's why I would need this pasuk to tell me, no, he's only tameh when it comes out. By the case of the nida that we just had on Chaval von Beis, we said bivisara is needed to teach me that she's going to be tameh when it's inside, implying that without a pasuk, the natural assumption would have been that she's only going to become tameh when it comes out. So why would the natural assumption by a nida be that she's going to be tameh only when the blood comes out, and the natural assumption by Balkeri is that he's going to be tameh even when it's inside, and then we need the psukim to flip it on its head? Well, why would the natural assumption be different in both in the two cases? This is a kasha of the Rishonim ask. The Ramban is Mitarit, gives two terutz, and the Ramban says that without the pasuk, we would have thought that we don't know. We just would have been confused. Not that we would know for sure that there's a natural assumption that the default position would have been by a balkari that he's tameh, we even bifnim, by a nida she's tameh b'chutz. No, we would have been mesupak what the story is. So we need a pasuk by each place to tell me to be motzi midei safek, to tell me that it's not a safek, that by the nida she's tameh bifnim, by the balkari he's tameh b'chutz. That's one teretz of the Ramban. The Ramban also says, had we not had two pesukim, we would have thought a balkari's metami mibifnim and nida's metami b'chutz, because a balkari's tumaso krova lotes miyad. Once the shikva zera is on its way out, it's karov to come out immediately. There is no kosle beis harecha ma'amido. There's no way that it's going to pause on its way out before it leaves the body. And therefore, it's as good as out. As soon as it's ne'akar minaguf, even when it's still in, one would assume that once it's ne'akar mimakomo, it's as good as coming out, and it would already be metamehim. But by anida, where the tumah could be misakev for a long time in the bayis achitzon, the kolsei beis harechem could hold the blood there for a very long time. So just because it left the uterus, I would not assume that it's ki'ilu, it's out of the body yet. And therefore, by anida, I would have thought that you have to wait till it actually leaves the body. That's the explanation of why we have opposite hava aminas by anida and by a balkari. That's how the Ramban understands. The Rashba writes that even after the tirutzim, the Ramban, it's still difficult. What was the suffix
safek of Rabbah. It's a Mishnah Mufureshes. We have an explicit Mishnah in Dav Memo Meralef that a Balkari is not Metame until Tumasa Lachutz. So if that's the case, so it's Baru, it's very clear over here that the word Mimenu comes for this drasha. I mean, what does the Gemara raise the Shaila? What's the word Mimenu teaching me? Does Mimenu teach me that if it comes out B'chatzitza, that it's going to be Tahar? Or does Mimenu teach me that you needed it to come out in order for the person to become Balkari? Well, it's a Beferish Mishnah later on that it's the man only becomes Balkari when it comes out. So isn't it therefore obvious that Mimenu teaches me the second thing and not the first? So the Rashba's Matari says the subject of the Gemara is how the Mishnah knew that din. Did the Mishnah learn that din from Mimenu, or did the Mishnah learn that din from somewhere else? We're not questioning whether that would be the halacha. So says Gemara Amalei, typically Dava Dehu Atzmo Eina Matame El B'Chasimus Pi'ama. So we should have a very simple raya that he does not become a Balkari through a tube, because he only becomes a Balkari if he sees enough carry called the shear of Chasimas Pi'ama, which can't happen if there's a tube in there making it a thinner amount that comes out at any given time, and therefore he's not going to be Tameh. So says Gemara, Lememra Denogea Havi, wait a second, you think if less carry comes out he's not going to be Tameh because it's less than Chasimas Pi'ama? That implies that the only reason he's Tameh is because he's touching Shechva Zera. That's not the real reason he's Tameh. He's Tameh because he has a Re'iyah Migufo of Shechva Zera, not because he's touching the Shechva Zera. The shear is for how much you have to touch in order to become Tameh of the Shechva Zera. But he's not becoming Tameh from touching Shechva Zera. Do you mean to say you think it's Nogeyavi? Elameyata al Yistor Beziva. If it's just a Tumah of touching Shechva Zera, and it's not a Tumah of actually Yotzalav Migufo, then seeing Shechva Zera during the Shiva Nekiyim should not ruin the Shiva Nekiyim for Ziva. Alama Tanya, why then do we have a Brice that says Zostar Sazova Shatetim and Shechva Zera, and we darshin that what's the connection between Zov and Shechva Zera? Ma Ziva Soser Asav Shechva Zera Nami Soser. That just like Ziva that comes out of his body will ruin his Shiva Nekiyim, so too Shechva Zera will also ruin it. So Amalei, Stira time with the sosel fishiev shalav losuk sukhiziv. He says, no. The reason that it's so sad, that Shechva Zera is so sad, the Shivanakim, is because, again, we're talking about a man in the old days that could become a Zav. He becomes a Zav with Re'eos could be Yam. He sees Ziva twice, he becomes a Zav. So he also needs Shivanakim. So he says, when it comes to being so sad, the Shivanakim of the Ziva, the reason that Shechva Zera is going to be so sad is because Shechva Zera, we always assume, carries with it some little pieces of Ziva along with it. So it's not pure Shechva Zera. If it were pure Shechva Zera, in a chinami, since he's only becoming Tameh from touching it, it's not really a Re'iya Yotzilav Megufo, it's not a Tumah Yotzilav Megufo, it wouldn't ruin the Shivanakim. It's only because of the Tzuchtzuche Ziva that are in there that it ruins the Shivanakim. Says Mara, yeah, if that's the case, El Me'ata Tistar Kol Zayin. Let's say he sees actual Zov during his Shivanakim. So then he would have to start counting all seven again. If you're telling me that that what happens when he sees Shechva Zera is that it's the same as seeing actual Zov, because there are Tzuchtzuche Ziva in there, well then it should ruin the entire Shiva Nekim, you should have to start counting again. Why do we assume, Alama Tanya, why does the Braisa tell us, Zos Taras Zav, Ma Ziva Soser Av Shechva Zera Soser, that we darshan that yes, just like Ziva can pause his Shiva Nekim, so too Shechva Zera can pause his Shiva Nekim, well, Ima Ziva Soser is called Zayin, Av Shechva Zera Nami Soser is called Zayin, I would think, therefore, the Braisa says, I would think I would have a Hava Amina, that just like Ziva would make him have to start the seven clean days again, so too Shechva Zera would. Tamalom, that's why the Pasuk says, L'tama va. The only thing that could be Soser called Zayin is actual Ziva, but Shechva Zera can only be Soser Yom Echad. Question mark. Meaning we just said before that why is it the Shechva Zera causes any problems whatsoever for the guy who is a Zav? Because there is maybe Ziva in the Shechva Zera. Well, if that's the case, it should do everything that Ziva does. Just like Ziva would make him count the Shiva Nekiyim all over again from the beginning, Shechva Zera should do the same. Yet it doesn't. Shechva Zera is only Sosiyo Mechad. Meaning, if he counted five clean days, and on the sixth day he sees Shechva Zera, so good, day six doesn't count as day six. Day seven will count as day six, and day eight will be day seven, and then he'll be done. So Amar Leh, Gzeres HaKasavi. Yeah, that's just a Gzeres HaKasav. That Ziva Gemurah Dala Avra Bashech Vazara Soseres Kol Shiva. Tzuchi Ziva Dala Avra Bashech Vazara Lo Soseres Al Yom Echad. there ain't a chinami. The whole problem of Shechva Zara is that there are tzuchtzuchei ziva in there, but it's gzeres hakasa that when it comes al yidei taroves, when it comes mixed in with Shechva Zara, it's only going to be sosa yom echav. When it comes on its own, then it's going to be soser. Then it's going to be soser kol shiva. Rashi brings as an example, if you see Keri on Shvi'i l'sfirasa, on the seventh day of his counting, so you don't need to count any more than one more day. You only need to count day 8 as day 7. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is mitzayin in the Gilui Neshas that the Rush disagrees with this example of Rashi, meaning Rashi could have picked any other day. He could have said, you see Shechva Zara on day 3 of the Shiva Nekiyim. Good, so now day 4 becomes day 3. Right? Rashi could have said that. But Hidavka picks an example where on day 7 you run into trouble. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is mitzayin that the Rush disagrees, that the Rush in Perek Dalet Siman Aleph in this Masechta in Nida writes that Re'ias Keri B'Shvi'i of the Shiva Nekiyim of Azav is not so ser even Yom Echad. Because the whole point of Stira Al Yidei Shechva Zara is because the day that you see is not considered to be a Naki day. It's not considered to be completely clean. But on the Yom HaShvi'i, after the, if you only saw the Shechva Zara on the seventh day, that means some of the seventh day passed by already without seeing the Shechva Zara. We have a concept in Halacha called Miktsas Hayom Kikulo. So Miktsas Hayom Kikulo should make it that you're already done with your Shiva Nekiyim. And therefore, by the time you see Shechva Zara with Tzuchei Ziva later in the day, shouldn't have any effect whatsoever. You're already done with your Shiva Nekiyim by that point in time. So the Rush happens to disagree with the example that Rashi gives. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara about 10 lines from the bottom, Chav Pesam and Aleph. Boimin Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Lozer. Dam Yavishmau. What if the blood comes out dry? Ki yuzov zov dama am rachman ha-demed of dayavle. Does it have to flow out like liquid? Lachin yavishlo. O dilma, hai ki yuzov zov dama urcha demilsi. Liolma filu yavishnami. Or maybe the pasuk is just describing what normally happens. Normally it's a flow, but if it comes out in clumps, in dry clumps, that's okay too. Okay, that would make her a nido also. There's no din that it has to dafka be moist. So that's the shayla. So amalei tenisua. Dama nido basra meis mitaman lachim yavishim. Says beferish. The dam nidas tame, whether it's lach or whether it's yavish. Amalei lach v'nasi yavish lo kamin bayli. So no, that doesn't answer the question. That just tells me that if dam nida came out moist and then dried up onto a cloth, and then something touches that dried up dam, that item would become tame from touching the dam. It does not teach me anything beyond that. It does not teach me that when it comes out dry, that it would make her a nida. Kimi bayli yavish meikara. That's a real shayla. When it's yavish meikara, when it comes out dry, will it make her a nida or will it not? So Hanami Tanisu says, we know this one already also. Hamapel de Tzara also befeirish a Mishnah and Daf Chafal from Nalf, our Mishnah. What does it say? Hamapel is kamin klipa, kamin sa'ara, kamin afar, kamin yavchushna dumin. If a woman is mapil, any of these solid substances, tatil lemayim, she has to put it into water to determine imni mochu tmeya, that if it disintegrates, she's going to be tamei, because then it's dam. So it sounds like even though when it came out of her body it was dry, it would still be considered nida. So as the Gemara, ihachi bloni mochinami. Yeah, if that's the case, then why does she even have to stick it in water? Just the fact that it came out as dry blood alone should have made her a nida. Why do you have to do a test by sticking it into water? So as the Gemara, no, you're missing the point. The test isn't what makes it dam, and therefore, that's what's going to become nida. The test is to determine whether this is actually dam or not. It's a test to determine what is the nature of the substance. But if the nature of the substance was dam, even if it was dry, it would still be tameh. When it doesn't disintegrate, then we just determine that it wasn't dam to begin with. It was just a beri b'fnei atzma. That's why we have to do the test. Says Maramika Kiya Gavna, is there really such a thing that a woman is going to be mapil, sa'aros, klipo? Whoever heard of such things, that red hairs and shells come out of her body? Says Gemara, in, yes, it absolutely happens. Vatanya, we have a brisa. Amar Blazer Rabbi Tzadik, Shnei Maisim, Hela Abba, Mitibin Liavna. There were two stories, two actual events that occurred that Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok recorded that Rabbi Tzadok had told over. There was a Maisa Shaya, a woman who was being mapil, things that were looked like red shells. And they asked Rabbi Tzadok, Rabbi Tzadok asked the other Chachamim, V'chachamim shalu l'rofim! And the Chachamim asked the doctors. And the doctors knew right away, they said, put it in water, you'll see if it disappears. disintegrates, then it was definitely dam and she's tamea. Veshuv ma'isa b'yishashay so mapel skimin sa'aros adumas. In another case where a woman was being mapel hairs. Uba v'shalas abba v'abashal l'chacham v'chachamim l'rofim. V'amr lahem shumi yesh l'betoch me'ya shem mena mapel skimin sa'aros adumas. She has some sort of wart inside her body that's causing red hairs to come out. You got to put it in the water, and if it disintegrates, she is tamei. This Gemara is one of the major makoros about how much one can trust a doctor when it comes to Hilchos Nida, when it comes to halacha in general. Do you trust medical opinions when it comes to halacha? The Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Gimel tells us that a person can give a psak based on information from a doctor in the following situation. It's not clear if a person is going to die if he doesn't eat a Yom Kippur or not. And the doctor tells you the person might die if he doesn't eat a Yom Kippur. So that person is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, because you can rely on the doctor for that. However, that is hardly a good source for Hilchos Nida, because the requirement to be able to eat on Yom Kippur is just that you create a suffek sakana. So a doctor may be enough to create suffek, but for Nida, suffek would not make things tahora. To say, suffek maybe. I mean, if the doctor tells you, I know it's dam maka, it's not dam in a maka. So is that good enough? That creates a suffek. Suffek shouldn't be good enough. Suffek Nida is l'chumra. So the question of relying on a doctor really is twofold. First of all, is medical expertise definitive lahalacha? Do we assume that halacha accepts medical expertise? And number two, assuming that we do accept medical expertise, do we assume the doctor is always telling the truth? Can we trust that the doctor is telling the truth? So this Gemara is one of the sources that we do assume doctors tell the truth, because that we trusted the doctor and that their expertise was definitive lahalacha, meaning that they get to determine that it's dam nida through their expertise. Now, it's somewhat unclear, though, exactly what to get from this Gemara, because doctors were consulted, but they didn't actually paskin until they did their own test. So maybe only when the doctor gives you an idea and then you do a test, and the test gives a result, only then you can rely on a doctor. The Rush, and the Tosfei HaRush over here, says that doctors only recommend the test because the doctors themselves couldn't definitively say that it was a wound, and therefore said the doctors themselves said we would do a test to determine whether it's dam nida or not. So it wasn't a test because we didn't trust the doctors, it was a test to determine what the metzius was. Other Rishonim disagree with Rush. The Torah quotes from the Sefer HaTrumah that it might be the case that the doctor's views are accepted as reliable only in very specific cases, like in cases where there was no previous cheskas iser, where she wasn't already becheskas that she's aser. But let's say, for instance, you have a woman who's roa dam machmas tashmish. She continually keeps on seeing dam machmas tashmish every time she has tashmamita. It happens three times, she's ready mukhzekes. So she goes to a doctor. Doctor does some sort of procedure, says, I fixed it. It's not going to happen again. Now she's mukhzekes and it's a problem. So the Sefer HaTrumah says, I'm not convinced by that. I don't think that's good enough that the doctor says that it's not a problem. I think she has to get divorced from her husband. Now, this may relate very much to the sugya of Erechanem Bisurin. Generally, we assume Erechanem Bisurin is only when there's no cheskas iser. I go home to eat dinner and my wife made dinner. I could trust Erechanem Bisurin that she's believed to say the food is kosher because there's no cheskas iser in any of the food. But let's say there is a cheskas iser. So Erechanem Bisurin, typically, we don't assume, has the right to be mafkia a cheskas iser. The Ritzba, quoted in Agos Maimonios in Hilchsi Surabia, Paragdal of Allah Chachaf, and quoted in Beis Yosef in Simkov Pei Zayin, the Ritzba writes that there's a difference between doctors that are observant Jews and doctors that are non-observant Jews or non-Jews. Observant Jews, you could trust what they say. Yeah, they have ne'amanus in halacha because they keep halacha. But if they're not observant Jews or they're gayim, so then they would need to be Messiah Lefi Tumo. They have to feel that they're not being relied on for a halacha. If they feel that they're being relied on for halacha, they don't take halacha seriously, and therefore you can't trust what they're saying. However, many poskim point out that nowadays there's a big difference between the way we trust doctors and the way they would have, let's say, in times of the Gemara. In times of the Gemara, the doctors were giving you a medical conjecture. There was no examination that could be done by a frum doctor, let's say, afterwards to verify what was seen and what wasn't. We do internal examinations right now. A doctor is describing what he sees. So many poskim say that nowadays we would we would trust the doctor because it's a milsa davida legliye umen lomaru umnase. We would assume he wouldn't want to ruin his profession, and he could easily be caught by someone else taking a look inside and seeing something different. So that's why nowadays the trust for doctors is a little bit better. So it says in Maravaita now, Amreish Lakish Ubu Poshrin, that the way they have to put it in water is dafkin lukewarm water. Tanya nam yachi tatalumayim ubu poshrin. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Amar, mimachto barok al gabi atziporet. Use saliva over the fingernail to be memaych to see if the blood disintegrates. May benai, what's enough community between them? Amravina malchadei chaki kabedayu. Do you have to aggravate it as you add to get it to disintegrate, or even or do you just leave it alone and let it happen by itself? In a totally different context, when it comes to when it comes to sherets and nevela, where we say sherets and nevela are only metame if they're moist, so we say you put it in lukewarm water for 24 hours. Over here, by dry dam, do you put it in water for 24 hours? Does it need to sit there for 24 hours? Sherets and nevela kushe bina meisleis. Maybe sherets and nevela which are harder require meisleis. Aval dam derachich lo, but maybe soft dam would not require meisleis. So demoloshar, maybe it shouldn't make a difference. Teku. So the Gemara doesn't have a clear answer. Hamapelis kamin dagim. The Mishnah said if a woman miscarries things that look like fish. So says Gemara. V'lufug nami Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree in this case as well about cases of fish? Rabbi Yehuda disagreed in the first case of the Mishnah. Remember, there are three parts of the Mishnah. The chaticha, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's going to be tame whether accompanied by dam or not. So why, when it comes to kamin dagim, chagavim, shkatzim, masim, all those things, we said im yeshimam dam tameim lav tahora. And Rabbi Yehuda, we never had Rabbi Yehuda piping up and saying, no, it's going to be tummy no matter what. So Amrish Lakish Mechlokish Nuyiv Rabbanahi. Eino Chinami, this is only a reflection of the Shita of the Rabbanan, but Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Rabbi Yochanan, remember, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Tem Rabbi Yehuda. This could even be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Ad Kamokom Rabbi Yehuda Asamel Gabi Chaticha Davidam Dekarish Vavi Chaticha. When did Rabbi Yehuda say it's going to be tummy no matter what? That's by a Chaticha, because Dam could congeal and become a Chaticha. Avil Beri Elohavi, but Dam typically doesn't turn into a fish. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it looks like a fish, it's we don't assume automatically that it's dam and it's tame. But if the whole machlokas is only about yefshel psichsekev blow dam, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda disagree in this case as well? Because if a fish came out in the stomach, there's a psichsekever. So it says Gemara, man the masni yachlish and the masni hachi. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish darmi tavay machlok shnu yev rabbanhi. Yeah, that lashon would say that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would hold that this line in the Mishnah is only going like the sheet of the Rabbanan, but of course Rabbi Yehuda would argue. Interesting, Tosfos points out, on the case of the Sa'ara and the Klipa, the Gemara wasn't bothered. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that I'm worried about Psichas HaKever? Right? It's only by the case of Dagim. So Tosfos says, because even though the Sa'aros and the Klipos may come from the actual Makar, nevertheless, it's not going to be a big enough Psichas HaKever to say the rule of Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam. That is critical la halacha. What emerges from this Tosfos is that Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam doesn't mean any tiny opening of the uterus is going to necessarily cause dam to come out. What it would mean is a sizable opening of the uterus. So this is a discussion of the poskim. Most poskim come to the conclusion that it's roughly a 15 millimeter opening of the uterus that would cause us to say Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam. And therefore, if an instrument is used to do an examination on a woman and it doesn't open up the uterus more than 15 millimeters, the instrument is narrower than that, we would not say this rule of Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam. Now, if dam does come out, okay, then we may have a problem. Now, there is a further discussion in the acronym. Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam may just be a natural opening of the uterus, but what if it's manipulated from the outside, that you're taking an instrument and opening it up? Maybe we wouldn't say the whole concept of Eim Psichas HaKever Blow Dam in that case. That's a major discussion in the acronym. It's important to be aware of it, because sometimes we need to use it at least as a sniff to be makel in a variety of situations. Okay, we're a little bit behind, but we'll pick up from those two dots tomorrow.